Alleluia, Christ is risen. Please be seated. Just last Thursday, the church celebrated the ascension of our Lord. On that evening, we heard the scripture lesson from Acts chapter 1, in which the evangelist Luke tells us Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him out of the sight of the apostles. Or, as we say very briefly in the creed, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And it's in that period that we live now, between that brief confession of the ascension and what follows. From thence he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Now, we don't know when that will happen, but the question before us this morning is, what happens in the meantime? What now? We don't have the Lord visibly present among us to instruct us. So what do we do until his return? Before his death, as we heard this evening, this morning, our Lord gave his disciples a sure and certain promise about what would happen in the post-ascension church. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So what happens now? In one word, witness. Or in the original Greek language, there's a word that you would recognize, martyrdom. This is what the church is all about in that time between Jesus' ascension and his coming again. This is the gift to the church. This is the task of the church. This is the cross that is borne by the church. Witness. Martyrdom. After our Lord's ascension, we receive the witness of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. We suffer martyrdom for our witness, and we share in the sufferings of the divine martyr, our Lord Jesus Christ. First, we the church have received the witness. Again, our Lord says that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who is poured out on the church at Pentecost, will bear witness about him. This is the job of the Holy Spirit, to testify to Christ and to no one else. The Spirit does not want to overpower Jesus. He doesn't want to promote himself at the expense of Jesus. Instead, he wills that Jesus Christ and him crucified be preached. This is what he himself inspires. The Spirit talks about Jesus. The Spirit points sinners to Jesus. The Spirit testifies to Jesus. Unfortunately, there are many, many Christians even, who believe that the Spirit is not the one to point to Jesus, but rather one who may improve upon Jesus. Jesus' death and resurrection are seen as the beginning, but the middle and the end are to be brought about by the direct work of the Holy Spirit and his gifts, speaking in tongues, healings, visions, etc. But this flies directly in contrast with the words spoken by our Lord Jesus. The Spirit does not bear witness about himself. Rather, he bears witness about Christ. So if you've ever been accused of not being a true believer because you never progressed in the Spirit, if somebody doubted your salvation because you never received a second baptism of the Spirit, don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. The certainty of your salvation is in Jesus Christ alone, who died for you. To him the Spirit bears witness, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And the Spirit bears witness through men, through the apostles. These men were hand-picked by Jesus to walk with him from the very beginning of his ministry, to witness firsthand the words and deeds of Christ, in order that they might go forth into all the world and bear witness to those words and deeds. These men received a special commission from God himself to preach, and in a few cases to write the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this preaching and this scripture was guaranteed by Jesus to be inspired by his Holy Spirit. Jesus guarantees that the scriptures are perfect teaching. For he said to them, "The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." What an amazing promise given to the apostles and to the prophets of the Old Testament before them. To be taught all things, and in the case of the apostles, to remember all that Jesus said, in order that we, who live 2,000 years later, on the other side of the world, might read the Holy Scriptures, written by the apostles, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and be confident that the words written there are true and trustworthy. Again, however, we know there are many who would call themselves Christians who do not believe what Jesus says here, who think that the Holy Scriptures are words written by men and men alone, conditioned by their earthly circumstances, an attempt by fallen men to explain the mysteries of God, or so they suppose. But do not lose heart on account of this false teaching either. The words written and read in Holy Scripture are not merely ideas about God, our best attempt to describe God. No. The Word of God is found in the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the inspired Word of God. God, the Holy Spirit, inspired the prophets and the apostles. Indeed, those same men who sat with Jesus at table on the night of his betrayal to bear witness to Jesus, crucified and risen again in those writings. Again, these words are not just some ancient ideas about who God might be. Rather, it is God's Word, the words of eternal life. And so we see that the Scriptures are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. We might wonder how this could be, that those who would call themselves Christians could be so mistaken about the witness of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. We might wonder how it can be that in the church, believers are burdened by false teaching. We might wonder how Christians could face ridicule, abuse, exclusion for holding to the truth. But this is exactly what Jesus says, is it not? He said, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. This is the second reality of the post-ascension church. We, the church, face martyrdom for the witness we have believed. And note here in our gospel that Jesus does not speak about martyrdom from the world, but rather the martyrdom that might come from within the church itself. The apostles are put out of synagogues. They are killed as service to God. And we see that our Lord's words have proven true throughout the history of the church. The earliest Christians were persecuted on religious grounds by the Jews. The Christians who first composed and confessed the Nicene Creed were persecuted by those in the church who taught that Jesus was merely a created being. The Christians who sought reform in the Middle Ages and the Lutheran Church after that were persecuted by the Roman papacy. And today, you know, faithful Christians, faithful Lutherans throughout the world are often put out of their churches for opposing false doctrine and ungodly practices. And indeed, those who are carrying out this martyrdom think that they are pleasing God, but a God who is fashioned in their own image of tolerance rather than the God who has spoken through the mouth of the apostles, the one and only God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. False belief, false teaching smears the name of Christ that has been put on every baptized member of the church. It is truly as the Lord spoke through the prophet Ezekiel, you have profaned my holy name among the nations to which you came. This is why we take doctrine seriously. False teaching is a violation of the second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And as we learn in the small catechism, we should fear and love God so that we do not lie or deceive by God's name. As Jesus warns us, we should be on guard. There are many wolves in sheep's clothing. There are many who would lie or deceive by God's name in this world, though they bear the name Christian. And though they call themselves such, they do not have Christ's word. Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. That is, you will know them by their teachings. If what they say is not in accord with what the Holy Spirit has witnessed about Christ, as you find it written in the words of the apostles, then it is not Christian. Now, it might seem a little paranoid to talk about things like martyrdom or persecution when we ourselves generally don't live in fear of death for the name of Jesus. But St. Peter tells us plainly, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. It is not a strange thing for us Christians to suffer for our witness to Christ. For Christ himself was the first and great divine martyr. To suffer under your cross, however that may happen, is to share in Christ's sufferings. And this, finally, is the third aspect of our life after the ascension. The church lives in Christ's martyrdom, and the church lives because of Christ's martyrdom. For Jesus is the Lord God who acted for the sake of his holy name. His love covered a multitude of sins, for by his love, he shed his blood on the cross. He was killed. His death was offered to God as a payment for the sins of the world. And the message of his death for the sins of the world has been proclaimed to all nations by the apostles, inspired by the Holy Spirit. They are Christ's witnesses to the ends of the earth. Through their voices, the Holy Spirit has called believers out of the nations and gathered them from all the countries and brought them into their own land, the promised land, the heavenly Jerusalem, to be God's own people. By grace alone, that includes you. You have been called by the Holy Spirit through the witness of the apostles in the Holy Scripture. You have been sprinkled with the clean water of holy baptism, and you have been cleansed from all your uncleannesses and idols. Should false teaching cause you to stumble or fall, the Holy Spirit has called you to confess the true Christian faith as found in Scripture alone, and he restores you to true faith in Christ alone. Have you been tempted to abandon this true faith because of persecution in word or deed? The Holy Spirit calls you to daily repentance and faith, keeping you in the one true faith, daily and richly forgiving you all your sins. Indeed, you have been given a new heart, a heart of flesh, not stone, and the Holy Spirit himself has been put within you. The same Holy Spirit who bore witness through the apostles now bears witness to Christ through you. Even as he keeps you in the one true faith, he calls others to the same through your confession of faith. As you confess to Jesus, who was martyred for your salvation, and as you share in Christ's sufferings through baptism unto death, you also shall share in his resurrection glory. Today, Jesus talks to us about witness, martyrdom. And these two words are one and the same thing. And they are the life of the church in this time between he ascended into heaven and from thence he will come again. Sinners are called into the church through the witness of the Spirit, spoken and written by the apostles, preached by those who follow in their footsteps. And these same sinners face martyrdom for their witness. Sometimes by those who once shared the name of God with them. And yet these martyrs, those who have died, those who have suffered loss, those who have suffered in any way for the name of Christ, they share in Christ's martyrdom. For he gave his life for you, that you might share in his glory. The Holy Spirit has called you to be his own. And therefore do not be surprised when you are tested, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.